Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo, but it's, I don't know if we are streaming. It says show is on, but not streaming. So, that's all we need. So I'm going to go to customer service here. And,
so we'll be on in a, we don't know what
yeah.
the story is with that. I don't know why it would say that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know if
they could be having a problem.
Yeah.
So if we're on, bear with us. If we're not, you won't be hearing us anyway.
Yeah.
So let's see. Well, it'll go into the archive.
It is searching for an available agent, so I'm hoping that this is working for us here.
So,
it looks like they have a problem. There's a wait time.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. We're going to just a second.
In the meantime.
How can I help you? My show is not streaming.
Or so it says.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that our show is streaming, but it says it's not streaming. So if you can't hear it, please bear with us. Please bear with us.
Because we don't know. We just can respond to what's printed
exactly.
on our screen.
Yeah.
So we need to find out what the story is so we know how to proceed.
Yeah.
But if it's not streaming, it'll be recording anyway, and it'll go into the archive.
So you'll be able to pick it up. So.
So we'll see what happens. With
okay. This. She's responding to us right now, so let's see if it's back online. I just gave that to you.
Is that your host ID?
No.
So we'll wait and see what happens here.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to...
Well, in the meantime, we contacted George Dixon, who is our regular on Friday night, and he'll probably be with us around 8:30.
Yeah.
He was actually going to Easter services. So... just put it...
Yeah, I'm not...
Just large it up. Just maximize, that's all.
No, that's not what I want to do. What I'm trying to do is get back to my chat room, however, the switchboard, however, that's gone. We're still working on this, folks, so please bear with us. Soon.
That is the chat room right there.
No, Lila, you don't understand. That's not what we're looking for. I'm looking for the switchboard, which isn't coming... some reason. I do not know why. Bear with us, folks. We're trying. Okay. We're still working on this thing, trying to get on the air. Ah, we are on the air. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're on the air. It says our show is streaming, so that's good. We're very pleased to hear that. Our show is now streaming.
So we're all right.
Thank you. Okay, and...
Let me take care of that. At least they respond very quickly, which is very nice.
All right, we're back. So, thank you. thank you for holding on. We hope that that works. And what's the matter now?
It's usually not black like that.
Yeah, it's always black like that, Lila. That's the way it is. You've only been seeing this for 18 months now. So we're trying to do everything we can, folks, so just bear with us. And we got the chat room back. Somebody's on there. That's good. And now what we're going to do is George Dixon will be delayed tonight by probably half an hour or so. But what we want to do is, since this is Easter weekend, what we want to do is I'd like to read the pagan origin of Easter. So everybody, what's the matter there, Lila? You rolling your eyes? What's
go
the matter
right
with that? So Lila is a Reformed Catholic, so she doesn't like pushing the envelope here on Easter. But
well, it's based on pagan rituals, there's no doubt about it, because spring was always something that was celebrated in agrarian society. As soon as we became settled and began to grow things, spring became very important.
And what I'm doing, I'm reading from this webpage called religioustolerance.org, and it says Easter, it's pagan origins. And I think this is appropriate for tonight, for many who don't know the Easter origins. It says the origins of the Easter name, Easter, the origins of the name Easter.
Hmm.
The name Easter originated with the names of the ancient god and goddess, the venerable Bede, from 672 to 733 CE, a Christian scholar first asserted in his book, De Ratione Temporum, that Easter was named after Ostre, or a.k.a. Istra, O-E-O-S-T-R-E, a.k.a. Istra with E-A-S-T-R-E. She was the great mother goddess of the Saxon people in Northern Europe. And similarly, the Teutonic Dawn goddess of fertility was known variously as Ostar, Ostara, Ostern, Estra. It must be where they got estrogen from, I guess.
Yeah.
Astra, Estur, Istra, Estor, Ostron, and Ossos. Her name was derived from the ancient word for spring, or Istra, and similar goddesses were known by other names in ancient cultures around the Mediterranean and were celebrated in the springtime. Some were Aphrodite from ancient Cyprus, Astora from ancient Israel, Astarte from ancient Greece, Demeter from Messina, Hathor from ancient Egypt, Ishtar from Assyria, Kali from spring. From India, rather, yeah. And Ostara, a Norse goddess of fertility. An alternative explanation has been suggested. The name given by the Frankish Church to Jesus' resurrection festival included the Latin word alba, which means white. This was a reference to the white robes that were worn during the festival. Alba also was a second meaning, which meant sunrise. When the name of the festival was translated into German, the sunrise meaning was selected in error and became Ostern and in German. Ostern has been proposed as the origin of the word Easter as well.
There are two popular beliefs about the origin of the English word Sunday. It is derived from the name of the Scandinavian sun goddess Sunna. It is derived from Sol, the Roman god of the sun. Their phrase, Dies Solis, means day of the sun. The Christian Saint Jerome commented, if it is called the day of the sun by the pagans, we will willingly accept this name, for on this day the light of the world arose, and on this day the sun of justice shone forth.
So, you know, everybody has a way of creating fiction with religion, you know.
Many, perhaps most, pagan religions in the Mediterranean area had a major seasonal day of religious celebration at or following the spring equinox. Sibyl, the Phrygian fertility god, had a fictional consort who was believed to have been born via a virgin birth. He was Attis, who is believed to have died and been resurrected each year during the period of between March 22nd to March 25th. About 200 BC, mystery cults began to appear in Rome just as they had earlier in Greece. Most notable was the Sibyl cult centered on Vatican Hill. Associated with the Sibyl cult was that of her lover, Attis. The older Tammuz, Osiris, Dionysius, or Orpheus under a new name. He was a god of ever-reviving vegetation, born of a virgin. He died and was reborn annually. The festival began as a day of blood on Black Friday and culminated after 3 days in a day of rejoicing over the resurrection. Wherever Christian worship of Jesus and pagan worship of Attis were active in the same geographical area in ancient times, Christians used to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus on the same date, and pagans and Christians used to quarrel bitterly about which of their gods was the true prototype and which was the imitation. Many religious historians believe that the death and resurrection legends were first associated with Attis, many centuries before the birth of Jesus. They were simply grafted onto the story of Jesus' life in order to make Christian theology more acceptable to pagans. Others suggest that many of the events in Jesus' life that were recorded in the Gospels were lifted from the life of Krishna, the second person of the Hindu Trinity. Ancient Christians had an alternative explanation. They claimed that Satan had created counterfeit deities in advance of the coming of Christ in order to confuse humanity. Modern-day Christians generally regard the Attis legend as being a pagan myth of little value. They regard Jesus' death and resurrection account as being true and unrelated to the earlier tradition. Wiccans and other modern-day neo-pagans continue to celebrate the spring equinox as one of their 8 yearly Sabbats, holy days of celebration. Near the Mediterranean, this is a time of sprouting of the summer's crops. Farther north, it is a time for seeding. Their rituals at the spring equinox are related primarily to the fertility of the crops and to the balance of the day and night times. Where Wiccans can safely celebrate the Sabbat out of doors without the threat of religious persecution, they often incorporate a bonfire into their rituals. Jumping over the dying embers is believed to assure fertility of people and crops.
I think that what I wanted to do is I wanted to use this, I wanted to go to this, grafted into stories of Jesus' life.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's an article here, it says, stating that, of course, that, you know, all of these, that the Christians stole everything from the pagans, and that, that's been known forever, but... were events in Jesus' life copied from other saviors, God, men, and heroes? There are not many religious topics that are more controversial than that covered in this section. Most conservative Christians believe that God inspired the authors of the Bible to write materials that is inerrant, without error. Thus, the Gospels and other books in the Christian scriptures are completely accurate in their description of Jesus as Lord and Savior, 100% God and 100% human. While most progressive Christians believe that much material in the Christian scriptures is actually folklore, myths that grew up around the memory of Jesus during the 40 to 70 years between his execution and the writing of the Gospels, during the individual stories about Jesus' magical powers, his supernatural origins, etc., accumulated to produce a mixture of Yeshua, the itinerant teacher, native healer, and Jesus, Lord, Savior. Comparison about Jesus' life events by Christians and others. What I wanted to read was the copied from others, yeah. Okay, and... there are many dozens of events in the Gospel. I just read that, didn't I?
No.
Why don't you read that?
There are many...
dozens of events.
I can't see. There are many dozens of events in the Gospel that are very similar.
Wait. You just killed the speaker. That's...
There are many dozens of events in the Gospel that are very similar or identical to incidents which appeared centuries before in the stories of pagan heroes as saviors. These God-men were worshipped by the priesthood and laity of Mediterranean and Middle Eastern religions. Modern-day conservative Christians generally discount the similarities between Gospel and pagan stories. Some of the most radical of liberal Christians see Jesus as simply the Jewish equivalent of a pagan savior, such as the Egyptian Horus or the Hindu Krishna, a Greek Dionysus. They view Jesus' biography in the Gospel as having been largely lifted from paganism.
I agree with that. But pagan saviors of humanity. The pagan spirituality in ancient times in the Mediterranean region were composed of two components. The outer mysteries consisted of pagan beliefs and practices, which were widely disseminated and taught to the general public. Knowledge of these has been largely preserved in historical records. The inner mysteries were revealed only to those who had been initiated in the pagan religions. The initiates learned that Osiris, Dionysus, was not a historical person. His legends were simply spiritual allegories encoding spiritual teachings. Late in the 4th century, Christianity was established as the state religion, and pagans were given the choice of converting to Christianity, being exterminated, or being exiled. That was a great choice. And their temples were either stolen for use as Christian churches or destroyed. Eventually, detailed knowledge of the inner mysteries was lost. And the core of the outer and inner mysteries was a mythical male entity who was part God and part human, often referred to as God-man. And the biographies of these God-men were consistent from religion to religion. And the main difference among the faiths was his name.
Alexandria Ion, or
Aion? Aion, A-I-O-N. In Asia Minor, it was Attis.
In Babylonia, it was Antiochus.
Antiochus, I believe.
Yeah.
In Egypt, it was Osiris and
Horus. In Greece, it was Dionysius and Asclepius.
And Syria is Adonis.
Italy is Bacchus.
Italy was Bacchus, and Persia was Mithras.
These were viewed as mythical characters. They were also some self-proclaimed good men.
God men,
humans who actually lived on Earth. Two are Samos from Italy.
Pythagoras. And Sicily was
Epidocles.
And Osiris in Egypt may have been the first God-man. His story has been found recorded in pyramid texts, which were written prior to 2500 BC. And these saviors were truly interchangeable. Coins have been found with Dionysus on one side and Mithras on the other. And a person who was initiated into one of the mysteries had no difficulty switching to another pagan mystery religion. And in the 3rd century, after CAE, they say, as I believe is AD, these godmen were referred to by the composite name Osiris and Dionysus. Authors
Timothy Frecke and Peter Gandy have used this term in their book,
The Jesus Mysteries. Right. So, going back here for a minute, let's see. Okay, so we've done that one. So we got into that thing. So let's see if we can.
We should check and see if George is.
Yeah, maybe George is back with us. Hang on, we'll go right to there.
Can we come back?
Similarities between Christianity, reasons, implications, link between Jesus and Semitic. Okay, let's do the Jesus-Horus linkage, Jesus-Osiris linkage, Krishna linkage. Specific life events shared by Jesus and at least one other God-man. Okay, let's go to that one.
But I think we should check and see if George...
Yeah, okay. Hang on one second. We'll be right back. Yeah, George is with us. Okay. Hang on a second. Good evening, George. How are you?
Hello. Good Friday, my friends.
Yes,
hey,
how are you?
Hi, George. I hope waiting too long.
Yeah.
No, I was listening to you there, and it was interesting. But it was really confusing, too.
I don't know why. No more confusing than our usual Friday nights.
Yeah, I know. It's confusing for me because, you know, it's the same old story being told over and over again, but put in motion by different people.
Right.
And, you know, I don't care what belief that you're focusing in on, but basically it all leads to the same source, and it's the unity with a God creator. And, you know, it's sometimes you got to sit back and take a look at, you know, the prime objective here.
Mm-hmm.
And the prime conjecture is connecting again, you know, with that which is. And, you know, it was nice listening to you folks.
Oh, well, thank you. I agree with what you're saying, George. I think that's true. It really doesn't matter because it was man's way of finding his connection to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's a nice opening for fractal consciousness and a quantum reality. And that basically is what we're up against and what we're seeing. And here it is put in motion. But the fractal that we're seeing is just a piece of the picture that that expresses the whole, and the whole is the unity of everybody is connected, or everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, there are many different ways to connect with the whole, and you know, with our mental mentality, you know, there's always a course, or there's always an obstacle to overcome. But with the body itself or the emotions, all you have to do is think it or believe it, and it will manifest itself.
I think what bothers me about a lot of this, a lot of these a lot of Christianity, is that they believe they're the only ones that are right about this, and Christ was born, and da da da. But if you look at history, and you find out where it came from, and I mean that the Romans, when they took over Christianity, they wiped out all the pagans, told them either to convert or die. So you know, they assimilated all these pagan rituals and pagan beliefs into Christianity. So it's like, you know, the whole thing, it just you know, all of religions just seem to have been politically manipulative. You know,
okay, well, let's jump back to the primer here, and the primer is that we are all sentinel beings having a human experience, not
right.
A human having a spiritual experience. So understand, you know, we talk about the evolution of consciousness and of souls and how this reality is only an illusion, but it's an experience by the God force within us. And that God force is the substance that gives us a body or an individuality, and that is a collective consciousness we draw to ourselves. I said before, we are creating and holding together the illusion that each and every one of us has around us, because we are holding that together ourselves. And as spirits, understand that, you know, this is not what life is all about. This is just an experience that we have, regardless if we're in body form or not.
Well, I think what bothers me, George, it really, and always has, is the man-made manipulation of these virtually these allegories or allegorical religious experiences or teachings. Or...
All right. Well, let's point the finger at, let's say, sin, because sin is the culprit, and sin is the one that you're looking for salvation from, and all sin is just the opposite of what they believe is right.
You know what?
What is believed is right.
I got to tell you something, which I like. For instance, I don't really believe in sin. All right, I just believe in
sin is illusion.
Psychological, problems. There's virtually. I mean, it's you know, how do you help some poor demented institutionalized lunatic, right? Who thinks that he's being hounded by demons and, you know, god awful whatever? Okay. What, you know, in the old days, or even now, people say, oh, he's a sinner, he's damned, he's doomed, and so on. Let's praise hands, and let's, and the guy, and you know, the guy's a lunatic, he can't go anywhere, he's on, you know, so he'll never get better, all right? How, what do you...
What do you mean he'll never get better, Leo?
Explain this. It's a psychological problem.
It's not a psychological problem. It's not a sin. It's a physical problem when somebody's mentally ill. It's
how about when a person kills another person or slays the whole family? Is that a sin or is that a mental illness? And is
it depends on how you're looking at it or what you're looking at.
You know, I'm looking at mental illness because I don't think there really is a sin. I think there's just a sickness, okay?
Well, there isn't any. Sin is an illusion, and it's used as a tool to manipulate, just like a carrot in front of a donkey.
That's absolutely right. I totally
original
agree.
Sin, that's what we start off, and that's what connects us. Regardless of the what sin it is, it's still a sin. And that sin is related to the sin of putting ourselves into this third dimension reality and becoming, let's say, a Luciferian. Because what we've done is we've adapted to physical matter, and in that itself has the duality of good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of just concentrating or focusing on whatever stream you want, either the good stream or the bad stream. But that's a mental way of thinking, and that's where it's where it holds us captive. But understanding with a Christ consciousness or with a consciousness, we don't use our head, it's through our heart. And our heart is what connects us to the unity already. Instead of what we have to do is just turn our thinking in the other direction and ground ourselves out in the reality that we are responsible for what we see and what we draw to ourselves, and that the problem is what we're being challenged with. The problem is us drawing that challenge to ourselves. And that is an experience, a physical experience, and that is part of the experience in our evolutionary evolution on a spiritual level. I mean, it's, you know, they say life is so short, and it's like a blink of an eye. But think if you put yourself in another situation that you are spirit to begin with, and that spirit, you're able to look back and look at these different lives and experience that you've experienced and not take them personally, or this one caused this or that one caused that. Understand, you caused that, and by looking at it and taking responsibility for it, you are connecting with your higher self who is putting this stuff together on, let's say, in a real level, and understand that the God force is, or that higher self is really the God itself working through us or manipulating or being part of our conscious intent.
I remember it wasn't too many shows ago that you said that evil was part, evil and good were necessary and part of the total process of being human, because it allowed the it created the
duality.
It created the duality that allowed us to progress and evolve, you know, to whatever we evolved to. So you know, this to me is what I'm beginning to believe, that good and evil have to exist together, okay, in this third-dimensional reality we live in.
That they do, but what do you do with the knowledge of both, of good and evil?
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
But what it tells me, all right, is that if anybody's going to go to sainthood, all right, they got to expect to die. All right, they got to expect to be murdered or killed or destroyed in some way,
okay.
Right? And suffer. Yeah, and I don't really think I want to do that. All right, I mean, I'm not that really thrilled about the idea of ever being assassinated or being martyred. Okay.
I guess we're riveted to our third dimensional reality.
Well, we are, I don't know, George. I don't feel like getting strung up on a cross and mutilated and castrated and whatever else they do to you up there.
All right, but the point was put across, instead of you having to go through the pain and the suffering, what you can do is just turn it over and forget about it and start anew again. But there's the problem, because we get tied up in this mental thing, and mentally we have to find a path back to the good part, you know, from the bad part. But that's just one way of doing it. That will take time, and here it's going back and reliving the experiences. But with through your heart, what you can do is just follow the feelings, the good feelings that the end results will give you. And those good feelings will manifest themselves instead of having to wait for them to mature in a time cycle, which is only an illusion of your brain and how you perceive time.
Mm-hmm. I think most of our problems here are caused by the fact that we're so divided from ourselves and from everybody else.
I think we create these for ourselves too.
Yeah, and that when we leave this dimension, we'll be united as souls. And
I don't think we have to leave this dimension in order to be united, because we are united. And you know, if you really look at it, you are part of the environment that you're in.
Hello.
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you you are here already. You know, it's not something you have to wait for until to the end of your life.
Well, I'm not. But the way I look at it, George, is that, we're here. We'll be there tomorrow, and we'll be somewhere else the next day. But
unity is difficult to achieve, I think.
You know, you see, heaven is not something at the end of life or end of the rainbow. Heaven is the journey there, and the problem is that we have heaven built in our brain of what heaven is like for us, and we're restricted to perceive that illusion instead of the illusion of heaven itself.
Well, is your illusion, or what are you thinking that it is, George?
What do I think that what is? Heaven?
Heaven, yeah. What is your thoughts on that?
You know, heaven is my journey there.
That ain't mine.
Yeah, heaven is my journey there. And the problem is that if I plan a course of action, you know, it's like what I used to do every day is, you know, plan my day out and plan my week out. And, you know, I would live by that plan, but I would know, let's say tomorrow at 12 o'clock, what I'm going to do. And you see, after a while, it becomes repetitious, and you know, it's like you lose interest in it, or it becomes a ritual. Now, I live more the understanding that, you know, I only have the day, because tomorrow I may be dead. And the truth of the matter is, that's the only thing that's real in life, that we're going to die sooner or later. So instead of predicting, I can predict things, you know, on my daily basis, like doctor appointments and, you know, going to the store and so forth. But, you know, instead of having to plan a day to fill my time, I just let the time fill my attention. And, you know, today my attention was drawn to get a rake and rake up some leaves. But I enjoyed that because, it gave me a goodness. And not only a goodness, but something that, you know, I'll never be able to do better than I can today, because tomorrow I'm that much closer to death. So my heaven is just being able to sit back and just try to smell the flowers. And, you know, I do make it a point to spend most of my time in prayer, or I should say in meditation, and that meditation is connecting with the outside world. I am Christian, but I think of myself as a Tao Christian, because I think that God principle is just a breath of life in everything and anything around me, real and manipulated or artificial. And this is where we get into the life that we as spirits have incarnated into, that we are restricted to the elements, and yet in playing this game or understanding this game, it's free to us to decide which direction that we take. And like I said, we can divide that course of us from a priority point of view, what is a good way and what is a bad way. To understand either way you go, you're on a course, and it doesn't incorporate this or that. It incorporates them both together. And in incorporating together is the unity of reality. Instead of from a physical point of view to a spiritual point of view, it's understanding that your body has two aspects: your mind and your heart, or your emotions. Mm-hmm. And this is the aspect of what the Christ consciousness brought. It's that where through the heart you can connect a lot faster with the environment around you or with a God principle than you are in thinking it through, because you're not in contact, or you are closed off from the outside world. And the heart is the body central for the outside stimulus, which we perceive.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's true. We live in a it's very difficult for a lot of people to be that way, because we are almost brainwashed to be exactly the opposite. I mean, school is about being rational and concrete and critical thinking, all the mental aspects. People are not taught to go from the heart at all. That was eliminated, burned witches at the stake.
But understand that, all the hardships and the emotional drain that you put on yourself, there's a way to relieve yourself of that. And if nothing else, if you take a look at the Christian passion, and out of the passion, the one thing that grows from that is compassion, with the unity that unites us all together. And it's through the compassion that we can overcome, let's say, the negative aspect of, even though I may not like somebody, but I like the color of blue eyes. So it's out of compassion as another human being. Hey, we're all on the same course, and, we're all equal to one another. And, good luck on your ways.
I'm sorry.
You
tell that to Pope Ratbeggar, or whatever his name is, and he says, no, that's not true. Anybody who uses contraception is not good, is a sinner. Anybody who disagrees with anything that the church says is a sinner, is a, damned to hell virtually. All right.
Yes. Leo, you're right. You're right. And, if you want to go back with the popes, you go back to Pope Leo, who had several wives and children. But understand, it was just the evolution that the church went through. And a lot of evil men have been in power and probably still are in power. But understand that, the consequences are getting much easier than they were, let's say, a couple hundred years ago. But, take a look at the acknowledgement of the Holocaust that the Vatican went through in the last 5 or 10 years or so forth, and how now it's reconciliation and the compassion, I think, of, with our hearts, let's forget this and put it behind us.
Let's put it this way, George. Look at it this way. Let's look at it from a 21st century mentality. If you took Peter, Paul, and Mary, okay, let's say the folk singing group, okay,
yeah.
and all of a sudden they created this guy named Jesus, okay? The guy named Jesus could have been a fabrication, okay, in a folk song, all right? And what they did is they needed a hero to promote their cult,
okay?
To to get more people into their cult and gain more power and gain more money and gain more...
And what's wrong with that?
Well, this is exactly what I'm saying about religions. Religions became this, okay? They became the cults. First, they became cults. Then they became powerful cults. Then they became the ruling...
to control humanity.
Yeah, so what they did is they did away, okay, all of the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim faiths all did away with any concept of reincarnation so that this life you led now was the life that, it was the only life you had, all right? That if you weren't any good in this life, you're going to be damned to hell for eternity, all right? Well, Jesus, you know, if you got to feel that way about a religion, all right, No wonder they crucified these people. I mean, you know, it was bogus craziness, okay? And it's the same way today. What do? We throw Charlie Manson in jail. Not that he doesn't belong there, but any cult leader. You got these roving evangelists out there, okay?
Who decides which cult is good and who decides which one is bad?
All of the globalist concepts, all right? And praising God in the meantime, all right? But in reality, all they're doing is collecting power, money, and influence, okay? So it's like, you know, the whole thing is a vicious cycle of theft and intolerance.
What you're saying is that you shouldn't be involved with these organizations whatsoever, regardless of who they worship and what they worship, right?
I'm not involved with any kind of church. And don't believe in any church, and don't believe in any ministry or any of this other stuff, okay? Because if it has an ounce of telling me what I should or should not do, okay? And it's just, you know, it's just a hypocritical mess, all right? So it's like, so what I'm trying to say is that I don't believe in Christianity. I don't believe in I don't believe in Judaism. I don't believe in Buddhism. I don't believe in any of this stuff, okay? And the reason is because it's all pathways to power. And it's not necessarily pathways to personal power, okay? It's pathways to institutionalize power, all right? And oppression on people and keeping you in place. I mean, everybody has the ability to read and write and or at least feel from their heart what is right. And most people, even a child, knows the difference between wrong and right. They say, gee, that's not right, or gee, that is right. All right? It's in something inherent within them.
It's universal
It's inherent, right. But yet, you know, they grow through, you know, schools and education and through these false teachings of religions and so on that oppress them and beat them and browbeat them with guilt and the concepts of hell after death, you know, and scare and spook the daylights out of kids and adults, right? So it's totally and absolutely hypocritical, and if there's evil in this world, evil is religion. Okay, religions are evil. Just as governments are evil, all right? So I mean, that's where I see it on this Good Friday, you know, as to what
I think if you give your power away, then that's the wrong thing to do. I don't agree with you when you say religions are evil.
They are.
Just let me finish.
Tell me one religion that hasn't authorized murder and death and mayhem, and complete control over their followers. One.
Atheism.
What?
Atheism.
Atheism.
Atheism. No, atheism has done the same thing, because atheism has, you know, all of your communist states. You know, so it's like they murdered. So any ism.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is. It's atheism and communism and so on. These things are hand in hand. Okay, the state becomes their religion, okay? And this, it all leads to power. It all leads to oppression.
What happens after it reaches its power and enjoys its fulfillment? What happens to it then?
Pardon me, George?
What happens to it then after it's reached its height and power and fortunes and so forth? What happens to it after then? Where does it go to?
It goes to hell.
It crashes.
It goes.
That's right, and it starts anew. But before it starts anew, it has to crumble.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes no religion.
Leo, what you were saying about reincarnation. What you say about reincarnation, yes, it's been suppressed and so forth, and all religions have it. It is something real. But, you know, it's people now understand that, and they're not held back by the dogma that they preach. So, you know, things are changing, but it's the rapid changeness that we're experiencing it and believing it. And one of these is some of the children that are being born now. They come in, you know, talk about their past lives and how they connect. And, you know, they're actually avatars of other families because they're so connected with us. But, you know, it's
I'm just rambling on here. I just don't see the validity of it, you know, of any of this, all right, any of these religions, because they've all led to the exact same place, which is the absolute oppression of their followers, okay, and of other people. And
the persecution of others.
And the persecution of others. I mean,
it's objective. It's not started out to suppress.
Who's did it? You know, everybody's been doing it, okay? And it's and they just take over, and just you know, and once they gain this authority over these, I mean, think about the authority that this Pope has. I mean, over 1.3 billion people. All right,
yes.
You know, I mean, everybody bowing down to this fish hat wearing fraud. Okay, and it's like, to me, that the whole thing is like absurd. The man is absurd. The whole concept of Catholicism is absurd.
Well, it's very futile.
Right? Not only futile, it's just absurd. And I mean, and if you look at the history of Catholicism, the barbaric and horrible things they've done. All right, and then look at the Protestants. I mean, burning the witches and the ignorance and condoning this kind of mass insanity over the years. I mean, look at the Mormons. I mean, oh my God! Every religion is brought about by sheer and utter insanity. Okay?
Yes, but they have their good aspects, Leo, and don't forget about them.
What's the good
aspects? You're crossing right over them.
They don't ultimately lead to oppression and some form of power grab. You tell me what's good about any of these religions, all right? What are
because
they
do? They offer some kind of hope and faith that people can hook onto, to believe to mature and manifest. You know, the righteousness of God, they're right, because we are God manifest, actually manifesting an illusion that we're experiencing. And that experience is not only from your mental self, but your subconscious self and your higher self, which is your spirit. And it's that spirit that connects with the Father, which is that connection in the void that we are drawn to.
Yeah, it's definitely a void, because I can't accept anybody's religion, because it's you know, the blind faith.
Well, you gotta have something, Leo, to focus in on, you know, for, let's say, an intent to, you know, fulfill your wants out of this life. I mean, you gotta have something you gotta believe in. What is it?
I believe in life, but I believe that life is a form. You know, I believe that we pass through life, all right? And I believe we pass through life to learn something, and we get out of this life when we move on to something else, all right? And that's what I believe. I believe that I'm immortal. I believe you're immortal. I believe we're all immortal. And
okay.
I don't believe anybody who tells me that, Leo, you're going to hell, or Leo, your life is over after you die, or Leo, you know, I'm better than you are because I smoke Camel Straights, you know what I mean, or I don't smoke, all right? So it's like, to me, most people are hypocrites. Most people, myself included, I find myself to be as hypocritical as anybody, all right? But the thing is that I try not to be, all right? But yet...
So what does that mean, then?
Well, it means is that I'm just struggling like everybody else to get through this life, all right? And once I get through this life, my heaven is to get through this life. I want to be done with it. I don't want to bang around here, all right, after I'm 100 years old.
Listen to yourself, though. You have the opportunity to create, just like any God could, your world around you. And you are doing that now. So what you're saying is that you're just sick and tired of this illusion that you're creating, you're holding together, and you want something different.
Yeah, I really am. I'm sick and tired of the illusion around me.
What I'm saying is, why you have the vehicle in this physical form, what you got to do is you got to click up a notch, and instead of experiencing life through your brain, experience it through your heart. That's all. And you just click into a different vibration.
Yeah.
Well, you can control the negative aspects, if you want to call them that, in the world that you bring into view.
You know me for a long enough time that I try to rationalize things. But, you know, whenever I talk through my heart, I get extremely impassioned, okay, and extremely angry or extremely elated, all right, one way or the other. And that often does not lead to rational thinking, all right? So what I'm trying to do is I try to create in my mind some level of understanding or tolerance to everything I see. But at the same time, I try to create some form of acceptance, okay? And maybe it's a stoicism, but it's acceptance to the fact that it exists, I exist, and I have to coexist with the world, okay? For whatever reason, I'm not sure yet, but I have to be here, okay? You have to be here. Lila has to be here. Everybody has to be here. So... And we're here for this reason that we probably won't find out until we die, all right? But nevertheless, that's my reason for being, and I'm accepting that. I don't plan to kill myself. I don't plan to kill anybody in the process. All I plan to do is get through however many years I got left, all right, as easily as possible and, you know, as passionately as possible. And after that, you know, Let the cosmos do what it does. You know?
Yeah, but don't restrict yourself, by locking yourself into that, because you may find yourself given a ticket to climb the Himalayas, and you physically got to be able to do that, my friend. So you're gonna have to shift real quick. I read something this week. I just wanted to raise, if I could, and it was an article on the medical establishment. They found that when they reviewed x-rays from CAT scans and so forth,
mm-hmm.
that the doctors were able, if they had a picture of the patient and reviewing a set of lungs for cancer and so forth, if they had a picture that they can identify with that person, they're able to diagnose more from those x-rays and also write more about their observation on these x-rays. And it was through a doctor who said that after a while, you know, x-rays and pictures get boring, but if you can identify with a patient, it's a lot easier to look at, you know, some of these results or these tests. And, you know, it's an example of now, instead of looking at something from a mental point of view, they're able to hook in to these patients, their energies, and actually experience what they're looking at, and it's a closer connection with people, but it's through the emotions that they can identify. And they also say by looking at the pictures, they can look at the facial expressions and so forth, but read into that patient more, let's say, than they would by looking at, you know, a set of x-rays.
That makes sense.
You know what makes no sense to me, George? There was a thing on tonight, on the news tonight. Lyle and I were watching it, and this guy was totally. Here's this doctor, totally flabbergasted, like totally amazed at how well premature babies respond to breast milk. Okay,
yeah.
Like what kind of a freaking moron doctor is this? Okay, this is a new study. You know, like mother's breast milk is suddenly good for babies? I mean, what? I couldn't even. It blew me away how stupid this medical profession is.
Yeah, well, what everybody's got to get paid somehow, Leo. And you can write a paper and grab some attention and, you know, wine and dine, but that doesn't mean it's real or not. Understand, it's it's the attention that's drawn toward it. What I like about this is that because the alternatives that we have available that's been pushed back for so many years is starting to come across, where doctors are seeing the truth of looking at a patient holistically, you know, not just from their ailments and so forth.
Oh,
you know, you don't treat the disease, you treat the whole person.
Yeah.
And it's that mentality that, by damn, it's kicking in and it feels good, but they're identifying with the emotional body, which is the other aspect of our human nature that's been suppressed. That is part of this fractal reality that we're experiencing from an emotional aspect, not just from the mental aspect.
I don't give these doctors any credit whatsoever.
That isn't what he's talking about.
The medical profession, yeah, that's exactly what he's
no,
saying.
Leo, it's what
talking about
no, no, Leo, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. What George is saying is that we're putting together the whole reality instead of just a piece of the reality. So first we looked at things from a rational cognitive point of view. Now they're incorporating a heart emotional point of view, which gives you the bigger picture. Is that correct, George?
Right on the money, Lila. Right on the money. And that they're integrating the emotional body, emotional consciousness into, you know, their findings or their academic initiation.
It makes sense to me.
Leo, that is what you're saying is only a piece of the picture. We're trying to tell you is that rational piece is one fractal of consciousness. The emotional piece is another fractal of consciousness.
What does that have to do with mother's milk? Tell me that right now.
Well, you're
in the medical profession.
No, because
what does that have to do with that? It has nothing to do with that. The medical profession has totally, absolutely misdiagnosed everything. And suddenly, a million years later, now with all this modern medical machinery and everything else, here's a doctor who says, oh, my, mother's milk is good.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. What we're talking about is consciousness. And
I must be in my own reality today because I brought up the concept of the mother's milk and the thing, and then all of a sudden you wind up in fractal consciousness and some other concept of God knows what you're talking about. But just concentrate for a second and just say that what I'm saying is that, again, the medical professions, the religious professions, that this profession and that profession, okay, they are all lost. I mean, they're nothing more than a manipulative bunch of people trying to struggle for power.
Yes, that was one piece of consciousness.
Oh, by the way, we got 27 seconds to stream. We're going to lose our stream in 23 seconds. So if you'd like, anybody would like to call in, please do. Just call our number, and you can listen to the rest of the show for the next few minutes. But thank you, Cryptic, for joining us. Roll 57 for joining us, and I believe Diva Literary, whatever she was, Literary, she was here, and whoever else is on, we appreciate you joining us. So we just lost their stream, George, but continue.
You know, it's good to know that there is a solution, you know, to our problems, and you know what we have to do is give peace or give that a little bit of a chance, and if it's worthy, it will catch on. It's like the 100 monkey scenario. So I think this article is great, if nothing else. You know, we do have a crisis right now with the medical industry, and you know, it's not that it's the light that we need to shine some light on to give us some help with this, but if nothing, it's part of the solutions that we've been praying or hoping for, but it's trying to, you know, implement it, And, you know, not step on too many eggshells, Leo. And see, that's the problem there. I mean, you have diversions all over the place. But understand that, you know, it takes the emphasis off the real thing and sideswipes you. You know, I mean, understand that that's just part of the experience. And it's part of the downfall or the destruction that it must experience. So I say hip, hip, hooray, because at least we found something that is positive and it's good. And, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. There's a lot of shit that flies. But every once in a while, I'll take a clean towel, wipe my face off at least. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's not taking it personally, but understanding that if nothing, it's a roller coaster ride. And instead of looking at a day positively or negatively, it has character. And the character is, the heaven that I find in my my daily chores.
I agree with you, George, but I have to keep this in mind, and I have to keep following my commitment to some form of truth. I mean, everything that I read and everything that I think and I feel, all right, and come across over the years and currently, I just have become so not rigid, but so committed to
saying things. But, Leo,
there
are many
things.
Truths.
There are many truths, and they're only half-truths. You only get half-truths.
And
but
what
when
may
I'm,
be
well,
true
other,
for you
but,
at this moment may not be true to either George or myself.
That's true. That's true. That is true. That's a truth. Right.
But I hope you're having fun, Leo. But I am. That's the whole point of it. We're spirits having a human experience, and if we can laugh at it, don't take it personally, then everything can be
fine. In reality, to you or to anybody out there, I guess. We continue. The work I've done with this with Manly Hall, some of these remarkable lectures that he gave were, all stated how. It was all a pursuit toward truth, but more so how the mind creates the reality, creates even your heaven, and creates everything. And you live within your mind, right? And it's not so much your ego as it is your ego combined with your soul creating this reality that
well,
you live in
the
now,
one, the one,
reality you live in
the
later.
One reality that I'm looking forward to, and I'm sure maybe all our listeners are too, is for the spring to come and beautiful flowers and trees and a lot of sunshine after this long winter. That's the reality I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And that's what this Easter is all about.
Renewal, that's what I agree with.
And
renewal.
I think we all need it. And I'm going to say goodnight because I'm going to go downstairs and check on the dog. And I know you and Leo will probably talk a few minutes more. But to you and to all of our listeners, I wish a happy renewal.
There you go.
I'll be with you, my dear.
Thank you, George.
But anyway, George. That's where we're at. I think we create this reality, another reality every Friday night.
That's right.
I hope you have a great weekend. We've had an interesting one so far, but things. I'm looking forward to a new year, a good year. Hopefully that. I'm sorry about all this bad weather everywhere and the firestorms and stuff that you hear. But thank God, I guess we're not suffering in that way, and the earthquakes and so on. But that could be us tomorrow. Who knows, right?
Well, it's compassion that we hold each other in unity, and if nothing else. Give us moral support or emotional support.
There was something, there was something I should mention that Manly Hall said, and I totally agree with him on this, is he said that you should make every day count. You should make every day important. Make every day, do something every day, do something good, productive every day. and you live longer, live better, live happier, and so on. And I agree with that. You know, when you look back upon the day and say, well, what did I do today? Then if you did one thing that was good for the world, then according to him, he said you've done good. You know what I mean?
No. Well,
cat. Huh?
A doctor told me years ago that I had 6 months to live. And I outlived that 6 months, but yet I don't know. There's been years, many years in between.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do believe that, things can change. And if nothing else, our ability to change the reality or change the world around us, we can do it.
I know, and I know that you've done it, and I know that you continue to do it, because I know every day that you're committed to doing something, you know, in a productive, either learn or speak or whatever you do, it's for the betterment of yourself and for others. But I think that's a model. Model way to live, and I hope that I do the same thing. You know, that every day that I do a show or work or teach or whatever I do, is in some service. You know, in some productive service to the betterment of man. And I guess that's all we can do. And,
well, you can do it, but but believe it's real instead of hoping for something. That hoping means that you're not having it or you're not experiencing it. But believing what you're doing is it, it takes on a altogether different perspective.
It does. By doing it, not to get any reward from it, other than the satisfaction you receive from achieving or not achieving, but doing it.
Yes, but believing the satisfaction is real, you'll bring the satisfaction, or it will manifest itself,
yeah,
regardless
well,
of the obstacles of logic and science as we understand it. Our emotions or the way we feel will change any outcomes, and that's part of the mystery that we experience. You know, life is not a linear line or a linear understanding.
That's true. And it's not that. It's a satisfaction that you receive when at the end of the day, after you've achieved something or done something, whether it's work or play or family or whatever, but you know intuitively that whatever it was good, done. Good. You feel good about whatever it was that you did.
So, Leo, you don't have to wait to the end of the day to experience it or to feel it.
No, you do it in the morning. I mean, whenever you do it, you felt good doing it. But you've achieved something, and you're committed to something, and continue to work toward that, regardless of where it leads you, provided that it's.
No, but you don't have to work for it, Leo.
Some form of service to mankind, and I think that's what it is. Manly Hall stated that in one of his lectures, and it really rang true to me, because he's just saying that as long as you live each day pursuing your desire and serving mankind in your way. All right, then you are achieving your destiny. You're walking the proper path. You're to self-realization, and that meant a lot to me, because it's how I've always felt. And intuitively, you always know when you're doing right, or when you're doing, or when you wasted a day, or when you wasted something because you just did.
Well, when you said serving mankind,
yeah.
what makes you think that you have to serve mankind?
Well, no, you that's part of what you're here for. I mean, you serve simply by doing your work, okay?
And
your job, doing your, you serve, you know, it's like the Dylan song, you got to serve somebody, you know? That's true. You're really serving somebody in this life. And, you know, you hope that you're either serving your audience or they're serving you, or you're serving, you know, your wife or your kids or your dog.
Well, why do you want to serve them? Why would you want to serve them anything?
It's only service. I mean, why not? I mean, why not?
Why not? Is because you're interfering. You're interfering with them.
No.
Why not just acknowledge them as you know, gods in their own path, and you know, you don't have to serve them so they would feel you know, that as if they're gods or serve your purposes your own belief.
Oh, George. I feed my dog. When I feed my dog, what am I doing? I'm serving my dog, right? I feed my cat. I'm serving my cat.
Yes, but you know, but you took that responsibility on, that this was something you would have to do, and the dog agreed upon by coming with you. But you know, just because you attach to something doesn't mean that you have to control it or give it something it doesn't have.
Well, I got to give it the food because it would starve.
No, you. Well, look at Leo.
Yeah,
you let that dog go. That dog will go out and find food on its own.
Well, it would, but it may never come back to your house.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying, you know, it's part of the instinct that we all have. You know, we will survive. And, you know, for humans, we're pretty smart animals here. We can. Normally find food in not only in other animal life, but also in plant life.
Right, but you know, to a degree, like you can't.
No. The body will survive, and the body will eat anything that it can to sustain itself, and that's just part of the nature. Mentally, we think we have control over, but the body knows better, and the body will take care of itself before the mind will. Even though the body will follow the mind to a point, but if there's danger, the body will protect its own existence, which will cancel out the brain.
Yeah. No, I agree with it. I exist based on some commitment to my life, you know, and it's just and it turns out that
your life is spirit, not as Leo Steele.
No, but as Leo, basically, yeah. I mean, my life is in some form or pursuit of something, of my destiny, whatever that may be, and I don't even know what it is yet. So neither did anybody else, I guess.
Oh, yes, you do, Leo. If you look deep down in and get to that higher self.
Total damn frustration, because, you know, I run into these roadblocks, and I say, well, I thought that was it, but I guess not. I got to go around here, then I got to go here, it's like, yeah, you think this is where you're going to go, but then it's not, you know, and then you say, well,
maybe you think too much. Instead of thinking, just do.
Yeah, yeah.
One foot in front of the other, and your emotions, your heart will take you where you want to go.
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't have to think about it. It will just happen. And that's how easy it is. But you got to believe it and live that belief.
I can't always trust my emotions because they've led me in some places I should never have gone. So,
sometimes you got to take a gamble. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but that's okay. Look at the benefits on the win side.
Yeah. You got to be balanced with those emotions, and
You got to be balanced. But understand that you know you can take a fall, you can come down a couple steps, but understand that you can also continue on.
Yeah, but when you take the big falls, you know that land you flat on your ass.
That's all right. Every once in a while, life's like a bad sandwich. Every once in a while, you got to take a bite.
No, it's like I should have had a VA. I should have used my head on that one. These are the ones that's where I get confused. So I try now more than ever to try to draw a balance between what I emotionally want to do or feel and what is rationally possible to do and
make. Just try to separate your rational mind from your emotional mind. And
thing to do. That's what I'm saying. I could easily jump off an Acapulco, cliff, right? But unless I use my head and figure out, where I'm going to land, it's bye-bye Leo, right? So,
One thing I've learned with Maria, Leo,
jumping
is
up.
That sometimes you just can't take life too serious.
When I was in my 20s, I was jumping off cliffs all the time. But, after so many hard hits, you just kind of say, well, maybe I should judge the distance a little more,
But believe that the spirit knows your limit. When I say the spirit, your higher self, it knows your limit and how much you could take.
Yeah.
And understand that, you're never given more than what you can overcome, because you've overcome it before, and you're just remembering how to overcome it when you find yourself in that situation.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's just like, we know this stuff, and as spirits, we're just re-identifying with a basic understanding that, life is not this three-dimensional reality or illusion that we see around us.
Right.
Life is what's giving that substance and holding it together, and it's the creation's work through that illusion that we experience in our attempt toward a certain direction. But understand that I do believe that I am holding everything together around me, and it's the spirit of my body that gives it direction and attraction and connects with physical substance and physical space or physical substance around me.
I think you're right, George, and I'm hoping for the day when we no longer need that.
Leo, you don't have to hope anymore. I'm going to set you free. Believe it now, and it is. So you don't have to think about this. Just do it or believe it.
Right.
So what's the big thing? You're wrong. Maybe you learn 6 months from now that I was wrong. So what you do is you just turn from that and go back another direction. And with quantum reality, fractal reality, understand that there are many, many, many options being played out. And all we're doing is just picking one option and playing it out. But understand it's being played out in all different dimensions at the same time. But what makes it more real for us is the one that we attached ourselves to. That is something that becomes part of our way.
Right. No, I think you're right. Yeah, we'll see what happens in a few more months.
It's interesting, that's for sure.
If I particleize or if I stay within the same dimension, but
I'm looking at what's going on in the world right now with this G20 meeting that took place.
Yeah.
And how many people were killed in the last 2 weeks? 57 people?
From where?
Around this country, around the world.
Oh, no, more than that. There were 250 just died in Italy in the earthquake. And then there was a slew of people that just died again in Afghanistan. There was a big bomb. And Iraq, another big bomb there. So there's probably been closer to 1,000 people who died under weird deaths or violent deaths in the last that have been reported.
There's just some crazy stuff that's going on right now, even with this hijacking on the high seas.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? That's so bizarre. that one makes no sense to me at all. How the hell these guys can hijack these tankers you know, with a little speedboat, you know, and a rifle. But I guess they can. It's a good business if you can get into it. I mean, you know, $3-4 million for every time you take over a ship and they parachute it to you and let you go. You know, that's a good business. That's why they keep doing it.
But I think the next big blockade here is, you know, how do you control what actually they want? $1 million, yeah, how do you want it? You want it electrons and some kind of magnetic strip, or do you want gold? So whatever, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, no, they parachute this stuff out of the sky for them. But,
yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do? You know, you give it to me in dollars.
There you go. Well, look at Leo. Why don't we call it a night here, my friend?
Sounds good, George. But thanks so much for calling in and being with us tonight. And you have a good Easter there.
Why, thank you, my friend, and God be with you.
We'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Good night now.
Good night, George. And for all of you listeners, I want to thank you for joining us. And if you join us in the archives here, thanks. And I hope you have a great weekend and a good Easter and all of that. I don't agree with any religion, but and don't believe in any religion other than that there is one God and one collective force, and that eventually mankind will, you know, achieve unity consciousness, and we'll all think alike to the degree that we all believe in brotherhood and kindness to each other and so on. That'd be a wonderful thing in a utopian society, and may very well be near in just a couple of years. In 2012, if all this is what we hope, then mankind will ascend to the fourth dimension and in a greater and higher state of evolution and enlightenment. And we can all hope for that. But in the meantime, watch your backs and don't take any wooden nickels and don't be foolish. And question everything, question me, question everybody, but most of all, question yourself. And, you know, if it feels right, and it feels good, and then it probably is good. If it doesn't, well, you know, then you might want to consider not, you might want to reconsider that thought, so, or action. So, thank you very much for listening, and have a pleasant weekend. Good night.